for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, May the 22nd, 2015. Sandy Hutchinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Healed of Asthma, Allergies, and COPD.
I want to introduce to you my wife of almost 43 years. And not only is she my wife, but she's my ministry partner. And we told them this morning that we're like one dog with two heads. If one of us turns right, the other one's turning right too. And most of the time, we don't even have to say, I'm turning right. We just know. We do this all day long. We do Jesus all day long. We do deliverance. We do praising and worship and prayer. And we just on the same wavelength. So she's my partner. But I tell you, probably even better than that, she's my best friend.
Amen.
Sandy
Hutchinson. I was wondering if I was going to be able to see it over this podium, but I can't. I'm not sure as I thought. No, I think they've got a little bit shorter podium. You know, I was reminded during the worship service of one thing, and then Meryl said something that reminded me that I hadn't planned to say tonight. But during the time that I was seeking healing, God asked me, would I dance before the Lord? And I said, oh, can I actually do that? And God said, well, who's going to see you? And I said, no, that's true. Nobody's here but us. And so, you know, we have to learn to just be loose, you know. Worship God with what you've got, you know. And you're so right, Meryl. That's important. Just loving and worshiping with your hands lifted, with dance, with praise, with whatever. You just want to let Him know how much we're loving. So, yes, that's true. Okay, Meryl asked me to come and share. Ben and I together wrote this book about my testimony of being healed. And some people, when they see it, they think the name is only healed. But actually, it's big print, healed. But then down here it says, healed of asthma, allergies, and COPD. Because, you know, those are all things you can't be healed of, is it? The doctor can't heal it. Medicine won't do anything about it. It'll help you live with it or not. But God is the only one that can heal you. And when God healed me, He said, now, I want you to make a CD. The CD he was talking about. He said, I want you to make a CD. I'm a quiet person. And Van's the technology guy. And I said, well, Van, turn it on and leave. Because I didn't want him to be there when I was recording it, you know. When God baptized me with the Holy Ghost, I said, man, I think I'm supposed to sing. And he said, well, do it. And I said, well, I'm embarrassed, you know. And so we turned out the lights. This was many years ago. Held hands in the dark. And that's how I got the Holy Ghost. I've come a long way. But anyway, so God wanted me to record it while it was fresh, while I was so excited about what God had done. And I was telling Meryl today, when we got better equipment, Van said, well, do you want to redo it? And I said, no, because the anointing was on that CD. You know, the anointing was on it. Because God was saying, I want you to do this right now. And then later, after I had done the CD, I was hoping that would be all He required of me. But then He said, no, He wanted us to write a book. And He kept after me. And I kept saying, well, we don't have time, and I don't know how to write him all excuses, but then said, if you'll just write the story down, I'll help you get it into acceptable terminology, because I'm the kind of person I just go, 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 and then have to kind of slow me down a little bit, you know. So the reason that it's in acceptable terminology is because Ben, because he's very good at putting things into the right terminology. But anyway, this book, I wrote it because I was sick for over 20 years. I wasn't just sick. I was dying. And I lost so much time that I wish I had had with my children. But they would have events in their life and I would be in the bed or I'd be in the hospital. I was so sick. And I was going to three doctors trying to keep me alive. And one day, I was in a local town, because we live in a really small place, and to go to the doctor, you have to go to this other town. Well, I was there going to see one of my doctors, and God just said in my spirit, he said, I want you to go to the bookstore and get Dodie Osteen's book, Healed of Cancer. He said, if you'll do what she did, I'll heal you. I said, okay, I'll do that. So I went out this book, and I started doing what Dodie Osteen said she did to be healed. I prayed the scriptures she said, and as I prayed the scriptures that she had in her book, I marked them in my Bible, and God would give me other scriptures along and along, because he was teaching me how to be healed. And so I finally had the collection of scriptures that I have in this book. And each scripture was there to teach me a lesson and to teach me a principle that I needed to be healed. Now, I can't tell you what God will do for you, but I know what he did for me, and that's what I'm here to do tonight. Now, when God told me to start praying in the way that I'm going to share with you, I would pray once a day. And then I heard a teaching by Derek Prince. And he said, God told him one time, Derek, if the Word of God was a pill, you'd take it three times a day. And he said, well, yeah. And God said, well, why don't you take my Word three times a day? And so I said, well, if Derek Prince got healed taking the Word three times a day, then I'll do the same thing. And sometimes it was hard, because when you have asthma, you can't talk and you can't breathe sometimes, you know. And so I would be so sick some days, and I would just want to go to bed. And I'd say, well, I'll go to bed, and then I'll get up. And you know, God always woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't know what he likes about 3 o'clock in the morning, but it was always 3 o'clock in the morning. Because he'd say, you know, you didn't pray that third time. And I said, all right, I'm up. And I made myself do it. And that's what I want you to understand. If you're serious with God, he'll be serious with you. But you got to get serious with him. You know? Now, I've been a minister for a long time. But I haven't been healed for a long time. You see, Van caught hold of healing when we first got in this walk with the Lord. And he said, I'm not going to be sick. But I was already sick. And I didn't know how to get unsick. And so wherever you are on that coin, if you're on the sick side or you're on the well side, well, wherever you are, you're going to have a test one day. And that's why I want you to see how to get past that test that Satan's going to throw at you. Okay. Now, during that time, and it took me 9 months to get healed, okay, doing what God told me to do. It took me 9 months. But during that time, God completely changed our lives. Van and I have a Bible college. Well, we just finished our last semester, and we just resigned from the Bible college. But we started a Bible college 11 years ago. And so we're word people. We're doctors of theology, whatever that means. And we know the Word. We know the Word. We teach people the Word. And Van was had just told a friend of ours, excuse me, that he would try out and see if he wanted to co-pastor with this man on a temporary basis. And he was doing that, and God said he wanted us to start driving 3 hours every Sunday to go to Charlotte to go to church. And we said, 3 hours one way every Sunday? And you know, God doesn't always tell you why. He just said, I want you to do it. He didn't say anymore. So we did. So Van told that pastor, in fact, Van got up to preach one Sunday, and God just told him, do it. And so he told him as he was preaching, this is my last sermon that I'm going to do here, because we've got something God wants to do. So anyway, we started driving to Charlotte to go to this church every Sunday. We didn't know why. But we know now. Because for 3 hours, we listened to men and women of God preaching faith. We listened to sermons, free sermons, from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp that you can download. We listened to great men and women of God from the past who are gone to be with Jesus. We listened to Dr. Null. We listened to so many people. God had to get us in that car so we listened to those people and build our faith. Now, at the time, Van was still working, and he worked long hours. He was a physical therapist, and so he had so much computer time that he had to do that driving in the car with me going up and down these hills to Charlotte, because it's kind of hilly, he was typing in the computer to get these patients in. And sometimes he'd say, can't you take that curve a little easier next time? But see, we were listening to the Word. He was typing in the computer. We were praising God all the way. 3 hours there and 3 hours home every Sunday. Because God had to get our attention. Well, one day, these people at the church said, don't you think you've been coming here long enough? And we said, well, God had told us to leave. And they said, well, why are you coming? And we said, we don't know. And you know, they thought we were strange. But a lot of people think we're strange. Didn't bother. Anyway, one day he told me why. We were driving to Charlotte. And I just said, God, why do we make this drive every Sunday? He said, I've got to change the way you think. And I said, well, what do I think? And he said, you think you're sick? I said, I do think I'm sick. That's all I think about. Am I going to breathe my next breath? And he said, well, I'm going to change the way you think. Because Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. All I thought about was how sick I was. My doctor, that's all he told me, was how sick I was. All three doctors, that's all they told me. My friends, when they saw me, they asked me how sick I was. And I told them. You see, that's all I could think about, was how sick I was. And how many times I'd almost died. That's all that was in my mind, was sickness. Asthma is a terrible thing. COPD is a terrible thing. And allergies, you don't know when they're going to hit. And it's just terrible. Always having it like a gallows hanging over your head and wondering when it's going to snap. You know? And that's how I was for all those years. I saw my mom sick and dying with asthma. I saw my grandma sick and dying with asthma. Because it's a family curse. My sister. I mean, I can go on and on and on. That's what I saw. So I had a whole lot of faith in asthma. But I didn't have a whole lot of faith in healing. You know, Dan would say, Sandy, if you just do so-and-so. And I would say, okay, I'll do it. I didn't have any passion for it. You know, I'd try to do something as an act of faith, but I didn't have faith in it. You see, you've got to quit having faith in your sickness.
Amen.
So that you can have faith in what God says about you. Okay. Now, I'm going to share with you today some of the revelations that God gave us, or me, because it was trying to get me healed, but together. And I can't tell you everything that's in the book because it's kind of a long story. But anyway, I'm going to share with you a good bit of it. Now, the first thing God showed us was there are a lot of ways to get healed. There are a lot of ways to get healed. God wants you healed. He wanted me healed. And there's a lot of ways to get healed. Now, one of the ways is to through the gifts of healing. This church that God took us to was a miracle ministry. And we saw people just like that, healed instantly. One woman was on the heart transplant list, and God gave her a new heart. And her doctor told her, he took her off the transplant list. She didn't need it anymore. She got a new heart. Let me tell you something. Right after she gave her testimony, and Bam was on one side of the church and I was on the other side because we were on the prayer team, and God told both of us, now go tell her how to keep her healing. Because they don't always tell you how to keep your healing, because most people don't know how to keep your healing. And so both of us converged on her at the same place, and we said, we want to give you materials so that you'll know how to keep your healing. And we gave her scriptures to pray. And you know what she did? She went home that week, and she came back the next week, and she ran and grabbed us, and she said, you gave me weapons to fight with. Because she didn't have any weapons. You see, she wasn't in the ministry. She didn't know the scriptures. She was a new baby Christian that just got healed. And so she said before she got to the car that day, when she gave her testimony, she was already having symptoms. You see, that's how fast he's trying to come back on her. And so she took that word that we gave her, and she started fighting the enemy and fighting the symptoms. And we also gave her a prayer, a daily deliverance prayer, to fight the enemy with. Okay. A miracle instant zap like that is one way to get healed. But you don't always get healed that way. Another way is through a word of knowledge. right after Meryl called me and asked me to come speak on healing, what came? Sickness. And I had been to the doctor that used to treat me for asthma, and I had just gross sinus infection, coughing, hacking, ugh, awful. And they sent me to get a chest x-ray. Oh, you're just so sick. We wouldn't send you just a chest x-ray. Well, chest x-ray came out, and we were okay. So they just said, well, we'll give you steroids, but we won't give you anything else. And I said, oh, you're not putting me back on steroids. Well, you know it's got to be asthma. I said, no, it's not got to be asthma, and I'm not going back on steroids. And so they sent me home, and I said, well, man, I guess they're sending me home to die because I couldn't breathe. I was so congested with all that stuff. And I said, well, let's do a deliverance service. And I was praying that night, and God said, what you got in your hand? I said, well, I think I've got 4 pills in there of an antibiotic from a previous time that took 2 weeks, 2 times a day. And I said, that's all I got. And he said, well, can you believe me to use that to heal you? I said, sure. And he said, pray over each one of those pills. And I did. And you know what? At the end of those 4 pills, I'm healed. Those pills didn't heal me. If 2 weeks of antibiotic is what it takes to get you over it, those pills didn't do it. But you see, God had to show me how to release my faith. Okay? So that was a word of knowledge. So you get healed by a word of knowledge. Another way is through deliverance. The day that I was healed, now, it was on a Wednesday. Sunday, I drove to that church, and I had the worst asthma attack I've ever had in my life. It took 80 milligrams of steroids to get me home that day. How many of y'all have ever taken steroids, and you know what 80 milligrams of steroids will do to you? Woo! You are wired, honey. But it's what it took to get me to breathe to get home for that 3-hour drive. You see? Because I was, see, the devil knew I was on his heel, but I didn't know it, did I? Because that day when I got out of my car, it was spring. It was Easter Sunday. And when I opened that door, that pollen hit me in the face, and I took a breath, and it was, yeah, couldn't breathe. So, see, that devil wanted to convince me I wasn't on the heel. But I was. So, the day that I was healed, that Wednesday, I was out in the yard, and I opened up a baled pine straw, and that was right in my face. And there I was, tight again. And I felt the devil say, gotcha. And I jumped up, and I said, I shouted, and I won't do that to your microphone. But I said, no, you don't, devil. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. You're not putting this back on me. Now, I command you to go, and I command you to go now. And you know what? I felt it leave. It went, whoosh. Just like, and it's like when you send an email to the trash, and it goes on your iPhone. That's how it was. It cast that demon out of myself. But that was at the end of 9 months of doing what God told me to do. You see? Okay, now, the last way that God showed me to be healed is through seed time and harvest. And Dan's going to teach you about that tomorrow. Seed time and harvest. But I'm going to show you a little bit of what God showed me about seed time and harvest. Now, 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And then Ephesians 3:20 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working in you. There wasn't much power working in me, I'll tell you that. There was a whole lot of doubt. There wasn't a whole lot of power. So what I want to show you today is how God showed me to have my soul prospering and how to have more power working in my life. You see, the working is the operative work. The power was there. I just didn't know how to operate it. I didn't know how to get it to go in for me. You know? You got the Holy Ghost, and when I got the Holy Ghost, the power came, didn't it? But you got to know how to release the power. Okay? Okay, so the first thing God taught us was, you got to change the way you pray over your food. Now, that seems like a simple thing, but it's not so simple. Here's why. God said to me one day, Do you know why you pray for your food? And I said, well, no, I don't. I thought it's just a religious thing that you do. You know, everybody did it, and so I did it. And when I was a child, I prayed, God is great, God is good, so that's all I knew, you pray for your food. And God said, no, I curse the ground when Adam sinned, and you're eating food out of a cursed ground. He showed me, it's as if you were growing your crop on the ground where a nuclear reactor has spilled whatever that stuff is, And he said, that plant is taking that into itself and it's a curse. And every plant, and then when an animal, if you eat meat, that animal ate something that's grown in that cursed ground and it took it into itself. So you're taking a curse in your body every time you eat. And God said, that's one of the reasons why you pray for your food. Well, we were sharing that with somebody one time, and this lady said, well, that's not true. And I said, oh, really? And she said, well, when Noah came off the ark, God broke the curse of the ground. That's not true. Here's what God said in Genesis 8:21. I will not again curse the ground. And that word again means add more. He said, I'm not going to add another curse. You've got enough right now. So he didn't break that curse of the ground. He just said, I'm not going to add more curse. So, that's the first thing. And then the next thing, Exodus 23:25. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and water and take sickness from the midst of you. If you're drinking water, how many times do you hear about people who are drinking bad water out of a bad well? Well, if you're praying over your water, it's not going to be cursed. It doesn't matter what Satan put in it. It's not going to be cursed. And if every time you eat bread or whatever, it said, I will take sickness from the midst of thee. And we said, whoa, we're getting somewhere here. I used to, as a school teacher, I worked with little kids. Do you know how nasty little kids are? And every little child that I worked with always had a snotty nose, and they were happy to share it with me, And they were always slinging it and sneezing on me, And every time something was going through the school, I brought it home. I would have intestinal viruses. I would have just, you name it. And he'd get up, I'd wake him up at night, and I'd go, oh, I'm so sick. And we'd start, he'd run to the bathroom with me, because here it comes, What do you do? Well, you got to learn how to pray. You got to pray over your food. You certainly got to pray over your water. Okay, so then God showed us Psalms 103:5. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, and thy youth is renewed like the eagles. If you don't like your food, you better pray that one over it. Good things. My mouth is satisfied. And that last part, your youth is renewed like the eagles. My daughter even prayed that over her 2-year-old. And you got to get a whole lot younger than 2-year-old. But anyway, when we started praying that, funniest thing happened. We would go around town, and people would say, well, is this your same wife? And they would ask me, what's happening to y'all? Y'all look like you're getting younger. And we said, we are, because we pray for our food, that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And then when we say that, you know, people think we're just being religious. But we're telling you the truth.
Yeah.
When you pray God's word or you food, it works. Okay, so then we got Mark 16:18. It says if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Well, you know, Elisha had his pottage, so that was eating a deadly thing. And Paul had his serpent, and that's touching a deadly thing. And then one day God asked me, he said, what was the only thing that Pharaoh couldn't do that Moses did? And I said, well, I don't know. I got to look it up. I mean, I know the Bible, but I don't know every scripture in the Bible, you know. And when I looked it up, do you know what it is? Moses' magicians could not turn the dust into lice. And God, when I read it out loud, and I said, huh, they couldn't turn the dust into lice. And you know, God goes into me and says, see there, you've got authority over the dust. Bam, it just struck me. And that was when I got that realization, I can stop that dust. That was out in the front yard when I rebuked that devil of asthma and it left. You see, you've got authority over the dust of the earth. So take it and use it because you can do that. Okay, so we started praying this way over our food. Lord, I ask you to bless this food, to break the curse of the ground. I thank you that you bless our bread and water and take sickness from the midst of us. I thank you that you satisfy our mouth with good things and our youth is renewed like the eagles. And I thank you, Lord, that we can eat, drink, touch, or breathe, eat everything, and it won't hurt us. Now, we've pretty much covered it. Okay? Now, that's one of the things God taught us. Then he taught me to change the way I speak. Proverbs 6:2 and then verses 10 and 11. You are snared with the words of your mouth. You are taken captive with the words of your mouth. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy walk as an armed man. You know, I knew that scripture. But I didn't know that scripture. Because, you know, you'll know something, but then you get a deeper revelation of it. And God started showing me, don't worry, curse yourself. Don't repeat what the doctor said. You know, I'm just saying what the doctor said, but you were cursing yourself. Just because the doctor said, that don't make it truth. You know? You see, I knew it on a level where I wasn't going to say bad things. How bad was what the doctor was saying? You know, you go to the doctor and they say, oh, those allergies are getting worse. You better start getting shots 3 times a week, 2 times a week. That's just not doing it. You know, and so, I got to go get shots 3 times a week. You know, you weren't cursing yourself. Don't repeat what the doctor said. Don't agree with the doctor. You know, you weren't cursing yourself. And then Psalms 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Now, you know that said the voice of his word. It didn't say God had to speak it. You've got a voice, and I've got a voice. If the angels hearken to the voice of God's word, then they'll hearken when you and I speak that word, because God already spoke it. And when you and I speak it, the angels hearken. Satan's angels, God's angels. They're going to hearken when we speak that word. And then Job 22:28. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. You know, we've got inside of us enough power through the Holy Ghost to do anything in this world that needs doing. But we don't use it enough to decree things. And when God showed me this scripture, I made a sign, and I put it in the kitchen. And I started making declarations. The sign was to remind me to do that. And I would start saying, I decree this day, devil, that you're not going to put whatever on me. You're not going to do so and so. And you know, at first, I didn't have a whole lot of faith for it. But as I started making these declarations, my faith grew. And now, I'll be praying for my children, grandchildren on the phone, and I'll say, I decree this thing, and it's established. It is. And it comes to pass. Why? Because I got faith in it. Now I had to build that faith. I didn't have the faith when I started. Are you kidding? I've been sick for 20 years. But you got to build that faith. You got to start acting on the Word to activate your faith. Okay. Now, the next thing God taught me, and He was teaching me this for a long time, because that's a big problem with this. Walking in forgiveness. Now, the very first time that I was healed through forgiveness. My parents divorced when I was a small child. And after they divorced, my mom had what they called back then a nervous breakdown. They don't call it that anymore, but that's what they call it then. And so we had to go live with my dad while she was hospitalized. Well, I did not know that I was illegitimate and I was the cause of their divorce. I didn't know that. I just knew my dad didn't like me. He was mean to me. He was terrible to me. I was rejected, and I didn't like it. And I grew up feeling inferior. So my whole life, I was trying to prove that I was good enough. Well, one night we were at a dinner for the Full Gospel Businessmen, and one started giving me her testimony, and I just knew I wanted to escape. I wanted to run. I wanted to get away. There was no way. You know how they get you at the dinner table when you're pinned in. And I couldn't go anywhere because somebody was speaking. You know, you look around, there's no exit. And now I know why. Those demons inside of me didn't want to hear what she had to say. And she was telling me how she was healed because God showed her she had unforgiveness. And when she finished talking, I knew I had to forgive my dad that I thought was my dad growing up, but then I knew at this time he wasn't my dad. But I had to forgive him, and I didn't want to forgive him. I thought he deserved it. He was mean to me all my life. I didn't like him. I deserved hating him. He deserved my hatred. But then I saw, like Carl said last night, it's like taking a glass of poison and expecting it to kill him. It's not going to hurt him. It was hurting me. It was eating me up. And so I said, okay, God, I surrender. I'll forgive him. Well, you know, the hard thing is I didn't know how to contact him because I hadn't talked to him in 30 years. And so I called my sister. Sylvia, you know how to get in touch with Daddy. Who? Daddy. You mean Daddy? Yeah. How do you get in touch with Daddy? Well, I don't know. I'll call him. And then she called my aunt, and she called my grandma, and finally somebody had his number. And she called me back and said, well, here's his number. Good luck. He was a nice man. Okay? And so I called him, and I said, Daddy, this is Sandy. I want to ask you to forgive me for hating you all these years. He said, what? Who are you? I said, this is your daughter, Sandy, and I would like to ask you, because God told me to ask you to forgive me for hating you all these years. And he didn't say anything. I said, will you just say you'll do it? And he said, sure. It was nothing to him. I said, great, see ya. I wasn't going to make him my best friend. You know, he didn't like me. I didn't like him. But all I had to do was forgive him and ask him to forgive me. You see, God was going to deal with him, and he's going to be with whoever. But I had to do that. You know, I can't say where he's gone. But I had to do that. And you know what? That was Sunday. 2 days later, Ben was working as physical therapist in the Moms Hospital. And I had started helping him. But I had such terrible hypoglycemia that sometimes I would just, my blood sugar would drop, and there I was. One time I passed out in the hospital, you know, and I mean, what could you do, you know? And so I went to a Bible study, and we were praying for a lady, and we all kind of split up and went to different corners of the room, and there was nobody where I was. And I heard, you're healed. I mean, I heard it right here. And I looked around. There was nobody there. And I said, who said you're healed? And I thought, hey, maybe that was God. Never heard him before. And the next day, I was at the hospital, and Dave came out of the patient's room, and he looked at me. I was standing against the wall waiting on him. And he said, there's something different about you. What is it? And I said, well, I think God said I'm healed. And he said, let's go find out. So we went and got a chocolate milkshake, because if you have sugar, when you've got low sugar, it'll drop it even lower and you're wiped out totally. And we went and had a milk shake, and sure enough, I was healed. So that was my first instance with learning how important walking in forgiveness is. But then God showed me there were a whole lot more people that I had hurt over the years, and that my children had hurt, and that if I wanted to go further with Him, then all of that had to be made right. I didn't like it. It was a bitter pill, but I did. And it's so funny because one of the ladies, my daughter and her daughter, hated each other. You know, they pulled their parents into it and, you know, all that give and take. And then God showed me to forgive her and ask her to forgive me. So I called her one day and I said, Cindy, you know, we're both Christians and our daughters made each other's lives miserable. Can we forgive each other? And she said, sure. And you know, about 6 months ago, her husband divorced her, and it was a terrible thing. And you know, she told a friend of ours, would you please call Ben and Sandy and tell them to come pray for me? Isn't that great? And we got to pray for her and do deliverance on her, and she's a Baptist. And she didn't know what we were doing, but she got set free. And it's so great, you see, because I asked her to forgive me, I was able to help her. You know, forgiveness is so important. So important. Okay, the next thing, repentance. Oh, that's a big one. You can't expect God to heal you if you're carrying around hidden sins. Psalm 103, who forgives all of thine iniquities, who heals all of thy diseases. He put forgiveness. You see, iniquities, then healing of diseases. You got to get straight before you get healed. One comes before the other. Now, I'm going to tell you what my big sin was because I want you to see how foolish Satan does. Okay? My big sin was that I'm an avid reader. When I was in first grade, I had a hard time learning to read. But when I caught on Buddy Rowe, I read everything I could get my hot hands on. Now, I developed a passion for murder mysteries. I know, murder mysteries. But I love them. I just love them. And we'd see a murder mystery on TV, and I'd tell Van who done it right in the first 5 to 10 minutes because I just knew the genre. You know, I read every one of them. Well, God said, I have to learn now. Now, there's not a whole lot wrong with murder mysteries except you're wasting your time. What good is it? It's fantasy. And when you're into fantasy, Satan is using your mind. And here's something else. After God showed me to put it down, I read somebody's little pamphlet back there that said people who are illegitimate are drawn to what? Murder mysteries. Yes. Yeah. And I used to watch those things on TV where they show those little, you know, those whodunits on TV, and then it's like, not like a drama, but trying to get you to help solve it, you know. I was just fascinated with it. And God said, you got to put them down. And so I did. I told God, I'm going to put them down. And then my daughter went to Costa Rica, and she said, Mom, would you go help me with the baby while we're in Costa Rica? I said, sure, I can go out of the country now. I don't have asthma. I can go with you. And it was so boring in Costa Rica because I don't speak Spanish, and I couldn't watch the TV, and there's just so many hours in the sun. When you're my age, you just can't lay out in the sun all the time like she was. And I picked up a murder mystery. Well, let me tell you, Montezuma's revenge hit me. I said, God, you don't have to tell me again. I will never pick up another murder mystery. Because, you see, I had given him my word, and then I was going back on my word. And he already told me, don't do it. So, you better not give God a promise when you go back on. Okay, now, the next one, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? And shall he not do it? Has he spoken? And shall he not make it good? Do you believe it or not? You got to make up your mind. Is he lying or is he telling the truth? You know, people will say, oh, God can do anything, but they won't believe that he'll heal them. Okay, then it's just a lie, what he said in there, that he'll heal you. That's just a lie. So you're saying God's a liar? Oh, no, God's not a liar. He just won't heal me. You just took the bait. You know, he'll heal you, like he healed me. But you gotta decide right from the get-go. He's not a liar. He said it because he meant it. If he meant it, then he meant it for me. Now, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I sent it. That scripture tells me words can do two things. They can go out and they can accomplish, or they can come back void. That's the only two things that they do, because that scripture says it. And the word doesn't lie. Now, some people say, well, I pray that their words will fall to the ground. Seeds fall to the ground and they grow up. I don't want anybody's words to fall to the ground and produce fruit. When God showed us that scripture, we have been really praying about it. I'm not going to tell an instance that happened. But this instance happened and we said, you don't want them to fall to the ground because they'll grow. And then God just showed us that and he said, they'll either do two things, one of two things. They'll either return void or they'll produce what you sent them to. That's how Satan works. When people speak curses, they speak curses against you. And if you don't know to send them back void, then they're going to produce in your life. So, you just send them back void. It's not that you don't like the people. It's you're not cursing them. You're just sending their curse back void. If it's void, it can't affect them and it can't affect you. So send them back void. The next thing God taught us was in Exodus 15:26. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Now, how do you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God? You do that in the Word. God's not going to stand there and re-preach the whole Bible to you. You've got to get in that Bible and you've got to see what it says. You've got to find what it says about you. Diligently hearken and do that which is right. If God said don't do it, then don't do it. That's what the Bible's there for. Just don't do it. Give ear to his commandments. Now, I'm not talking legalism. I'm saying if God didn't like it in the Old Testament, he doesn't like it now. He doesn't like sin. They told you all about sin and what it's going to bring in your life. God doesn't like sin, so get rid of it. Just do what God says to do. I will put none of the diseases on you that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God that heals you. We don't mind saying he's Jehovah Rapha, but we've got to do that first part. Diligently hearken to what the Word says. Hebrews 11:6-11 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do you diligently seek God? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. How do you search for him with all your heart? You get up in the morning and you pray. You get up in the morning and you read your Bible. You seek God with all your heart. When I was trying to hear from God, I read every healing minister's testimony that I could get my hands on. If somebody mentioned somebody that had a healing ministry, I read it. I got no revelation. But you see, when you seek God, he'll eventually tell you what to do, just like he told me. You've got to show him that you're diligent and you seek him with everything you've got. And he shows up and he says, Sandy, if you do this, you'll be healed. You see, you've got to diligently seek him. Seek him with all you've got. Now listen to the rest of that scripture, verse 11. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive a seed. You know what that word strength is? It's dunamis. That's power. That's that dynamite power that the Holy Ghost brought into us when we got filled with the Holy Ghost. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And here's what God how God showed me to pray that scripture. Through faith, I have received the power of God to conceive a seed of faith that I could be delivered from asthma. because I judge you faithful, God, and I believe your promise. You see, you've got to put yourself in the scriptures. Sarah believed God, and he gave her a baby. I believe God, and I got healed. You got to believe God. Now, Hebrews 11:1-3 says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, I know the English language, and substance means it's tangible. This is substance. This is substance. It's tangible. Faith, although you can't see it, it's tangible. It is a spiritual substance. God lives in a spiritual world, but there are laws that govern God's word. We might not see the angels and the demons that are around us, but they're here. See, spiritual substance is substance. Jesus had a spiritual body when he came back, but he could eat, and they could touch him, but he went through walls. I don't understand that. But you see, faith has substance. And it says, evidence of the things not seen. My faith is evidence. If I was in the court of law, my faith is the evidence. When I am against Satan in a court of law, my faith is the evidence that I need. Okay, so now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So what has my faith given substance to, Lord? And here's what he showed me to do. To confess, my faith has given substance to healing. And then the next part. For by that faith, the elders obtained a good report. And so I said, I have received a good report. Through faith, I understand, oh, I love this part of it, that my world is framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Glory be to God. My whole world has a frame around it, and it's made out of faith. Everywhere I go, my faith is going there. Doesn't that just set you on fire? You know, I release my faith. I confess my faith. It becomes substance. It becomes tangible. It becomes evidence. And through that faith, I get healing. I can't tell you how, because I don't really understand it. But you apply a principle of the Word of God, and it works. Okay, the next scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now I want you to look at some of that before I read the rest of it. You have weapons, you're in a warfare, and those weapons are mighty, and they pull down strongholds. Now let's look at the rest of it. Casting down imaginations. That's a weapon. And that's one of the biggest weapons that you have. Casting down imagination. And you think, that's nothing. What you got? Casting down imagination. Let me tell you. Alright. Those of you who have asthma, you're driving down the road, somebody's right over here cutting their grass, you see that, and you say, oh no, here it comes. Don't listen to it. Cast down that imagination. No, I'm not going to react to that. You devil, go for me. You see, you've got to cast down that imagination. Casting down imaginations is the biggest thing I used against the devil. Because, you know, you better watch out. It's pollen season. Oh, yeah, last year during pollen season I was in the hospital. Oh, no, cast down that imagination. Don't take the thought. You see, you stop him right there. Don't even let him get the whole sentence out. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's February. Oh, stop it. Don't let him get it out. Because when he does, he plants a seed of doubt in there. Cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Those aren't your thoughts. Those are Satan's thoughts. Those are the high things. And you've got to cast them down. Don't take them. Now, and I'm not bragging on myself, but God has taught me this very well. I needed it to survive. But now, at the first sign of a headache pain, I used to have a migraine, so it put me in the bed for 2 weeks at a time. And now, at the first sign of a pain, I'm like, no, no, devil, I'm not taking those. I mean, I'm begging and begging, I get loud. But I'm not going to take it, because I've tasted victory. You're not pulling me back into that, devil. I'm not going to believe your lies. 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I'll tell you something. When that doctor told me, you take these steroids, and I said, no, I'd rather go home and die than take those steroids again. I'm not going to do it. I'm not taking asthma back. I'm not going to do it. And I didn't. And God was faithful. You see, they were just trying to help me. They didn't realize what they were doing. But you see, when I told him that I was healed, you know what he said? He treated me for all those years. Well, you must not have had it if you're healed. I said, well, then why did you treat me all those years? He never has believed me yet. But let me tell you this. I was healed in 2010. Easter, 2010. I was not sick, Meryl, until you called me. For 5 years. And then I had to go back to that doctor. And they said, well, where have you been? We thought you'd either died or gone to another doctor. And I said, I haven't been sick. And they said, sure. They didn't believe me. But I wasn't sick for 5 years. You know? And I went around telling everybody everywhere I went, I don't go to the doctor because I'm not sick. Now, I don't have anything wrong with you going to the doctor. When I was sick, I went to the doctor. But I didn't need it because I wasn't sick. Okay? All right, now, let's look at that again. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of the Lamb was shed at Calvary. It's not going to happen again. It's finished. Jesus said it was finished. It was a one-time deal. It's done. So the only variable in that equation is our testimony. That's the only variable. So what is our testimony going to be? You know, if we're like Thomas and we say, well, I'll believe it when I see it, you're not going to see it, let me tell you. Because that's the way I used to be. Well, I'm not going to confess I'm healed. What if I have another asthma attack? Now I've got to go to the doctor. Well, people think I was crazy. You see, you've got to have faith for it before you see it. Faith says, it's mine. The word says it's mine. I'm going to fight the devil for it till it's mine. I'm not turning it loose. Devil, I'm coming against you with everything I've got because it's mine. That's what faith says.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.